You're back listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR, and we are now joined by Renfrey Clark, who is a member of Socialist Alliance and active in the Palestine movement, and also campaigns like Don't Dump on South Australia campaign. Welcome to the show, Renfrey.
Hello, Chloe.
Good morning. You're also here with Zane and Mary.
Hi, Renfrey.
Hey, you going,
hi.
Now, Renfrey, we got you on the show because you recently wrote an article in Green Left titled South Australia's Marine Disaster, A Glimpse of the Future. And well, just to start us off, can you give us a bit of an overview of this marine disaster and why it's unprecedented?
Well, it has been a complete catastrophe for South Australia's fisheries, tourism, and so forth. There have been massive die-offs of large numbers of marine species. About 450 species in all have been affected. In a lot of cases, it's been absolutely catastrophic. Now, why has this occurred? As we know, the sea is full of plankton, that is, microorganisms, and usually these exist in a reasonable balance. But if particular changes occur in the environment, then individual species of plankton can grow out of all proportion. And if these have the particular quality of producing toxins, then the damage can be especially great. And that's what's happened in South Australia. The guilty microorganism in this case is known as Karenia bigimaltae. And it's a natural part of the South Australian marine environment. It has these characteristics that it does particularly well in warm conditions, warm, still conditions particularly, and if there are plenty of nutrients, that helps along as well. Now, this is a particularly diabolical organism because it produces a toxin which has the effect of killing marine animals, particularly things like marine worms and so on. That is the benthic organisms, the seafloor organisms that are at the base of the food chain. It does this because it does particularly well amid decaying organic matter. So it creates this decay for itself by killing off elements of the local environment. Now, normally this wouldn't occur on a large scale or persist for long, but things have changed in the South Australian marine environment. Critical thing, it's become much warmer. In the course of 2024 and first half of 2025, you had exceptionally warm sea conditions, as much as 3 degrees above normal. And in these circumstances, this organism does particularly well. The other thing is that throughout the last 18 months in South Australia, most of it, there's been near-record drought. That means high temperatures, few storms, little mixing of the ocean, temperatures build up, and particular marine microorganisms that are favoured by these conditions proliferate and do particularly well. Their populations build up. This is what's happened with Karenia bigimaltae. This was first noticed back in March when you found large numbers of marine creatures, things like sharks and rays and skates and so on, washing up on South Australian beaches. And this particular microorganism was soon identified as the cause. Now, it's pretty unpleasant to marine mammals as well. If they ingest organisms that have fed on the microorganisms and which have accumulated the toxins, then seals, dolphins, whales can die. And this has been observed happening in South Australia. You've had great white sharks washing up on beaches and seals as well. So it's a thoroughly bad situation. It's exacerbated by the fact that there are plenty of nutrients around at the moment. A big flood on the Murray a couple of years ago has washed nutrients into the marine environment. Also, upwellings of cold, nutrient-rich waters from off the continental shelf. So it's a whole constellation of factors which have come together to create this situation. But the point that needs to be made is that this is something which hasn't existed historically. It's exacerbated by rising sea temperatures, and it occurs in the context of a rash of marine heat waves around the world. We've had as much as 96% of the global ocean in the past few years has been affected by marine heat waves. That is, temperatures markedly above normal for prolonged periods. And this is certainly what's occurring in South Australia. So we're going to find that algal blooms like this and the die-offs they cause are going to become more and more frequent in places like South Australia as temperatures rise, as global warming goes ahead. It's the classic tragedy of the commons, where greenhouse gases emitted on the other side of the world are having an effect in South Australia, in places that have nothing in particular to do with the emission of large quantities of carbon dioxide. In fact, South Australia is a place where emissions of carbon dioxide have been cut very radically. But while that's ironic, it doesn't matter that South Australia has been doing it right. The fact that outfits like the Trump administration in the United States or the Liberal government in Queensland have been burning coal merrily are enough to cause grief at completely unrelated places around the world.
Well, and of course the federal Labor government is approving lots of new massive coal mines and that massive gas project on the Western Australian coast as well, which will destroy a bunch of Aboriginal rock art along the way. I'd be keen to ask, Renfrey, do you know how prevalent this this marine algae Karenia micimotoi, how prevalent is that in other parts of the world? Because I've heard some people saying, you know, what the scary thing about what's happening in South Australia right now is it's a glimpse, as you say, into what can happen elsewhere. Is that algae pretty common around the world, or is it kind of more of a, like, where could we potentially expect to see this sort of thing happen elsewhere?
Basically, in places where water temperatures are relatively elevated and where there are plenty of where there are plenty of nutrients in the water column. And there are many places like this. There have been outbreaks in China particularly. It's had a bad effect on the shellfish industry in China there. But you've also had it particularly in the North Atlantic, outbreaks off Ireland. When you get prolonged warm temperatures and relatively still conditions, as you get during droughts, then favours the growth of this particular alga, and you get the blooms, you get the emission of toxins, you get the mass die-offs.
Hmm. So I was going to ask, I was going to go back to something that you said. You said that emissions in South Australia, or at least in that part of South Australia, had been radically cut. What has been, so what have they done and what should they be doing now with this disaster?
Well, South Australia is an example of virtue, I suppose, in its greenhouse emissions. Renewables make up 77% of South Australian electricity production, which is an exceptionally high figure, and they're aiming at a net 100% within the next few years. So the irony is that one of the most virtuous localities in terms of emissions has copped it worse. But the point is that it doesn't matter so long as emissions are going on at any point around the world, then places like South Australia are perfectly capable of suffering from it. This is a problem of global governance overall. Everywhere, governments need to be taking action to drive down greenhouse emissions. Otherwise, you're going to get global warming accelerating and disasters, tragedies like the current one in South Australia are going to proliferate.
So this South Australian government, sounds like you're saying there's not much more they can do in terms of reducing their own emissions, but perhaps what they should be doing is educating the public why this is happening, and advocating at least for the federal government to do things like not approve the Woodside gas project. Or what do you think, Renfrew?
Well, that's certainly the case. South Australia has a Labor government and has a certain input into decisions taken nationally by the federal Labor government. But I haven't noticed Premier Malinauskas making big trouble for the federal government. What the South Australian government is doing, it's putting together a rescue package for fishers who've been badly affected. It's making moves to set up a chain of monitoring stations, and there's money for further scientific research so that we understand this microorganism better. But the problem is there's not very much that can be done at this level. No government is able to go out and sieve the ocean for this particular offending microorganism. What does need to be done is to publicise the fact that the problem arises out of greenhouse emissions.
Mm.
Now, South Australia doesn't have a coal lobby. In fact, it doesn't have a coal industry at all. So it's fairly easy for South Australia to be virtuous and to say, we are taking the appropriate steps, we are driving down emissions. But this is not the case nationally. South Australia is, Australia in general, is profiting enormously from the sale of fossil fuels internationally, Australian coal and gas. So for the Australian government to warn about this, for it to berate governments elsewhere for the rise in carbon dioxide pollution is a bit hypocritical because Australia is one of the world's largest retailers of fossil fuels, and hence one of the sources of one of the world's worst carbon problems.
Mm.
Yeah, for people just tuning in, we are speaking with Renfrew Clark from South Australia. He's an anti-war and environmental activist, member of Socialist Alliance. We're talking about the failing of government's climate policy around the world that has brought on a marine disaster unexpectedly to South Australians. Renfrew, we are unfortunately running out of time on the show today, but I guess to just wrap up, do you have any other questions? Like, do you have any concluding comments before we say goodbye?
Well, only that it's the responsibility of the South Australian government to really take this to the feds and say, stop emitting carbon pollution. End the power of the coal lobby. Take action to stop the situation in which Australia is one of the world's greenhouse ogres. It's affecting a particular South Australian state, but it's an international problem, and the Australian government is one of the worst offenders by allowing this to go ahead.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us this morning, Renfrew. Yeah. We always love having Renfrew. You on the show. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Bye, Renfrey.
Bye.